You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. Can you think of anything finer than wasting some online time with these two? Can you?
It's the kind of movie where the sword budget was higher than the pants budget.
You know what he is? He's Ray Romano, but dirtier.
It's a cat and mouse game. Okay. The mouse's parents have been killed. The mouse has been raped. And the mouse's home has been burned to the ground. Now, guess who did all this?
The cat?
Yes.
Say that, friends. It's time for Movie BS. With Bear and Snyder.
Pitch me.
Pitch me.
Gendrequal.
None of the pants are too wet and they're too shiny.
Tom Cruise is what I would like to say crazy Cruise.
I'm going to change the story to Robert Pattinson killed the clown.
Sir, as you know, my unit is the very best.
Without these two, you won't have a clue which movies to see. So tune in every week. That's right! I said tune in weekly.
Hello and welcome to Movie S with Bear and Snyder, the internet's only movie podcast. I'm your host, Eric T. Snyder. Over there is Jeff Bear, my co-host.
Hello, I'm Jeff Bear. That was my co-host, Eric D. Snyder. Welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder on OneOfUs.net.
That's the only website on the internet. That's not true. That's an exaggeration. There are a lot of websites on the internet. Can you imagine claiming you were the only one? Hey, before we start the show proper, we have an iTunes review.
Well, I want to hear you do a little old-time radio voice for that review.
Well, you're in luck, because that's due to the gypsy curse. It's the only way I can read an iTunes review. This is written by Magic Dusk. Let me alert you. I'll warn you up front. This is a 4-star review, not a 5-star review.
What?
I know. It's hard to imagine anyone finding any fault with the show, but, well, I'll just read the review. You'll hear. He says, he or she says, "My favorite movie review podcast. This is my favorite movie review podcast. The reviews are entertaining, and these guys are always funny. I've enjoyed Snyder's writing and reviews for years. He's a very funny and talented writer, and it shows on this podcast. Snyder and Bear do a fine job of working off each other, save for when Bear repeats Snyder in a slow, mock dramatic tone, which happens nearly every time Snyder says the title of a film. That's something sidekicks do when hanging on the shirt tails of the main host, I guess, but please make it stop. It cost you a star. And please read this part of the review in old-time radio voice to make my wish more likely to come true." He's talking about when we do a review, and I'll say, "Now we're going to talk about this movie," and then you'll repeat the title.
Oh, and then I'll just say the title again sometimes in like a whisper or something.
Or something, yeah, just sort of echoing what I said. I would bet, like everything else that we've heard about the show that somebody didn't like, I bet there are other people who do like it. We're like, "I like how every time when Snyder says they're doing, the Bear repeats it in a different tone of voice."
I'm over it. I don't care.
But thanks for the review, Magic Dusk.
Thank you.
And your comments have been noted and forgotten. Anyone, write us a review on iTunes. We'll read it on the show in old-timey radio voice.
Tonight's fake sponsor of the show, Sierra Nevada Black IPA, dark hoppy ale.
Dark and hoppy.
Yeah.
What makes it darker? What is darker about it?
The color.
Just the color? But what makes it
it's
darker?
Black.
What makes it darker?
Come on. You know.
More beer? More hops?
More yeast and hops and differentiating things and, you know, stuff.
All right. All right.
Eric, I really just drank it. I don't know if you know that.
I did know that part. That part I was very familiar with.
Oh, there's bright citrus and pine hop aroma. Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Oh, it's malt. The malt.
Oh, the malt.
Malt makes it.
Everything that's in beer sounds like stuff I wouldn't want to eat. Barley? No thanks. Hops? Nope. Yeast? Mm-mm. Doesn't sound good. Keep going. What else you got? Pine? Did you say pine at one point?
Yeah, that's right. Pine hop aroma.
Pine hop. All right. Malt? No. No thank you. I figured it out. Beer is not for me.
You know what? I think that might be why you don't drink it.
That would be one of several reasons I don't drink it. Let's review some movies, shall we?
On with the show.
On with the show. Kind of a dud week as far as the big wide releases go. We got a Smurfs movie. We'll talk about that in a minute. And that barely counts. And then there's a Jesus movie coming out. It's called The Case for Christ.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. Wide release. 1,000-plus screens. They don't screen those ever for critics anymore. Or they never did, I mean. So there's that. That's the niche.
Faye Dunaway's in it.
Is she really?
Yeah, she got third billing, I believe.
What isn't she in? Besides the Oscars next year, I mean. But then also, and then the one like real wide release for everyone is this thing, Going in Style.
Going in Style is a remake. I did not know this until I sat down before the movie and Eric told me it was.
I'm full of fascinating facts, aren't I? Little bits of trivia.
You're full of facts.
I didn't know this had been a movie before either until a couple weeks ago. The original from 1979. Not a huge hit, but it looks like it did all right. It had George Burns and Art Carney and Lee Strasberg. And it was directed by Martin Brest, who went on to direct Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, goodness.
That other one with Midnight Run.
Man.
Scent of a Woman. And most recently, Gigli.
Oh, the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, that was the last thing he directed. He's still alive. I guess
he's not allowed.
He's in director jail, yeah. Right. But he wrote and directed the original one, and this remake has the same one-sentence description, and otherwise has very little in common with it. That one-sentence description being that three old guys decide to rob a bank. The end.
Yeah, these are three old guys that are desperate to pay their bills. There's a problem with their pensions. Social Security is not making ends meet.
And the banks are cruel and heartless, and they ruined this country. No one ever got in trouble for it.
Yeah, they need to get their comeuppance, and these guys are the ones that attempt to do it. We got Michael Caine as kind of the ringleader here, and then two guys living together, Morgan Freeman and Alan Arkin. We don't need character names for this. We'll just call them
sure by who they are.
By who they are.
And so yeah, it's Michael Caine's idea. He's the one that first says, "Let's rob a bank."
Well, and because he witnesses one.
That's true. The film starts.
Flat on inspiration.
He's in a bank when he sees Robert. He sees how easy it is to do. That's not in the original, by the way. Nothing like that. and so they decide to rob a bank, and there you go. Here, I have so many problems with this movie.
Well, wait, they think of the idea, and, you know, of course, Alan Arkin's character especially is against it for a while, and they, you know, wonder how they're going to do it, and there's some planning attempts, and there's things like that that immediately kind of take away whatever motivation they had, whatever they were able to come up with, like, oh, I want to spend more time with my family, or,
my daughter... money, I can do that, yeah.
My daughter and grandchild live with me, so I need more money to help support them and afford this house.
And their pensions at their factory job get canceled. So they do need money, but yeah, they never really justify why they should rob a bank.
It's a big leap.
It is. Considering the film is not played like a dark comedy or a crime caper thing at all. It's a very sappy, sentimental, middle-of-the-road, lowest common denominator.
They always want us rooting for these old guys because they're old.
And because they're Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine and Alan Arkin. Yeah.
Right. As opposed to, like, let's say Ocean's 11, it's more about the attempt of the crime and can it be pulled off.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah, the planning of this heist is not interesting. I actually noticed that the film breaks down into pretty much a four-season arc of a sitcom. It's at 23 minutes is when Michael Caine says, "I want to rob a bank." And then it's like 21 more minutes when they all three agree, okay, we're all in, we're going to do this. And then it's about 22 more minutes that the next major point happens. So it's very formulaic and disposable. And the problem is it's not funny. It's not funny. It's funny like this. Like they're at the diner. They always go to this diner. And the waitress says, "Always eat your pie. Life is short." And Alan Arkin says, "Thanks for the reminder." Because they're old, they don't need reminders.
Right.
That life is short.
Or three old guys watching The Bachelorette.
Right.
It's the basic. It's lowest common denominator.
The easiest lines. They see poor Christopher Lloyd. Poor Christopher Lloyd plays a really old, like dementia guy.
Dementia. In this, yes.
A very sad old. man, and when they, you know, we see him do something especially senile, and Michael Caine or one of them says, "If I ever get that bad, shoot me." And I'm like, that's the funniest way you could come up with to say that.
And no, like to me, it's just sad
it's
because
kind of
nobody's
mean.
Helping. Nobody's helping this Christopher right. Lloyd character who desperately needs help in life, or an assistant, or some sort of care. And they're all just like, "Oh, crazy old Milton."
Right.
And so that's not good. That's not endearing.
And it's so cheap. It's so cheap.
It is very cheap. There's this really weird instance where they decide to rob a bank. So they also then decide to practice by robbing their local grocery store.
But not robbing. Not going up to the front and with a gun and saying, "I'd like to rob this."
Right.
No, because that would make sense. That might
that
help you train
sense,
for,
yes.
for a bank robbery.
Right.
What they do is they shoplift. Like they stuff food down their pants and stuff. I still can't believe that's the reason. I seriously thought we had missed a scene or something that explained why they needed to shoplift. And that's all bad and badly done and not funny and leads to a couple of them steal a motorized scooter from a lady. And this is how cheap and lazy this movie is. Since it's PG-13, it gets its one F word. So they give it to an old lady in her one line of dialogue to say the F word. Because
right.
that's funny when an old lady says the F word.
There's some things that the movie does a little bit better than the other old guys doing something movie.
Go on.
There's less of a Viagra joke in this one.
That's true. That's true. That is a good point. Because when Alan Arkin hooks up with Anne Margaret and they decide they're going to go off and do it, I thought, oh boy. And then right after, I'm like, oh, we dodged a bullet there. Thank you, Zach Braff.
By the way, Zach Braff directed this movie.
Yeah. I don't just like randomly thank him when good things happen.
And then when they do their old guys take drugs that they don't normally take, in this case it's marijuana, in most cases in these movies it's marijuana, they don't go excessive with it.
No,
they go fairly light with it, even though nothing funny really occurs with
it. That's the thing.
It's over fairly quickly. It's easy entertainment. For those that want to be easily entertained.
But it's not entertaining is the thing. Like, yes, yes, they don't go overboard. They don't overdo the pot thing. But at the same time, or as my friend Jeff would say, but at the same point, they don't do anything funny with it either.
No.
So why even have it? Why even do it? Just cut it. Just cut the whole movie.
They're able to get this guy to help them by giving, they'll steal the bank. And if they're trained properly, they'll give this guy 25%.
Right.
He's
going to give him some pointers on how to rob a bank, yeah.
And he's like, okay, fine. And the movie moves along briskly enough during that stage, during the build-up to the bank robbery.
Yeah.
And then after, the really weird thing is they still are in this stage of like, where are the – there's just confusion with where the moral stance is here and who's right and who's wrong. And the movie wants to tell you – like, who's in the right here?
Well, yeah, there's no question as far as the movie's concerned. As far as Mr. Braff is concerned, they are completely in the right, even to the extent that mid-robbery, one of them will stop and have a conversation with a little girl to reassure her that he's a good guy and all that.
It feels wrong because it's not – like, it's not a good enough reason. Even movie world reason, they do not have a reason to choose to become bank robbers here.
Right, and there is no –
And for us to feel good about it.
There's no justification. There's no reason for them to steal it and to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the movie never justifies that other than, well, we like these old guys.
Right.
And it's very cheap and lazy. The kind of movie that you would half watch at the gym with the sound off. Like, you'll see it. You see, oh, there's some old guys running around.
Yeah. And you would confuse it with like, oh, Morgan Freeman's there, so this is that bucket movie problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I never saw that one either. That's how they would say it. Alan Arkin.
Yes.
Is he allowed? Does he have desire to do anything besides this one note character that he's been doing now for probably a decade? Does he want to do something else?
No, no, no. That could go either way because I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't a lot of, you know, I would say there aren't a lot of good roles for old actors.
Yeah.
So maybe it's
cranky guy is oh man.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see something else.
I agree.
Anything. Any little layer of anything.
You know, there was a moment before the robbery where they were watching a Dog Day Afternoon on TV, and I thought, oh, man, think how lucky we are that Al Pacino's not in this.
Matt Damon is this FBI agent.
Not Matt Damon.
Or Matt Dillon, sorry.
Matt Dillon, that's how you met. Matt Dillon. I knew Matt Damon was wrong. Yes, Dillon.
And it's weird because he's just doing his job, but the movie really dislikes him. Like, and it's just like, but he's really just trying to catch criminals.
Like, right. It's a clumsy, charmless movie.
Joey King is in this as Michael Caine's granddaughter, and she was in, what was the Zach Braff directed movie that he actually starred in, the one about L.A.?
Wish I Was Here.
Yeah, she was in that. So that it was interesting to see. Oh, they must have a good connection.
She looks like a young Rachel Weisz.
Yeah. Yes, she does.
I'm looking at her picture right now.
Kenan Thompson's in it, but he doesn't necessarily get anything funny to do.
No one gets anything funny to do because the movie's not funny.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did you notice Zach Braff's cameo?
No. Yeah. Where was it?
He was the voice of a doctor during a surgery.
Oh, was he? Oh, huh. Yeah. I didn't notice.
All right, gentlemen, here we go.
I give, what is this movie
called? That's his line.
Oh, okay. I thought you were coming in for a landing on the review. I'm done with this.
Going in style, what are you giving it?
D+.
Yeah. I'm a 4 out of 10. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long.
No, but it
could have been shorter. Mm-hmm.
Technically. Next up, we have a movie. You want to say the name of this movie? Let's flip the script.
Colossal.
Colossal. The password is colossal.
We got ourselves some nacho here, if you know what I mean.
You mean Nacho Vigalondo.
That's what I mean.
Diminutive, insane Spanish filmmaker.
Now, we can say that he's insane because we've observed it firsthand at Fantastic Fest, yeah, so it's okay.
He's sort of a mascot of Fantastic Fest.
He's amazing. If you guys haven't seen Time Crimes, go ahead and hit pause, mm-hmm. Go watch that movie, and then come on back. Because for me, Time Crimes is one of the best low-budget time travel movies, period.
I agree with you. I agree. And in fact, you don't have to pause. We'll just leave 90 minutes of blank space right here so you go watch the movie. And come back.
And then he also did Open Windows, which wasn't big, but I found it a little bit entertaining. I found the attempt of it a little bit entertaining, which was Elijah Woods looking at his computer, which is literally different browser
live
windows
streaming,
the
Skype
whole time.
Windows and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. All online. It wasn't bad.
Here he has.
He also made Extraterrestrial, which I didn't see, and I don't think you did either.
No, I think I need to see that.
That's apparently after Time Crimes, people say that that is Nacho Vigalondo's best movie, Extraterrestrial. Okay. Now he's got Colossal and Hathaway.
Yes, Anne Hathaway.
Is Colossal.
She is an alcoholic.
She is
in this film.
She is a fall down drunk, just a lush. And her boyfriend leaves her. And so she goes back to her hometown.
Gloria is left by Tim. Tim played by Dan Stevens, who's everywhere right now. He's doing everything right now.
He's having a moment.
He's having a moment. And she goes back to the hometown. And those brakes that you hear stopping are the truck driven by good old Oscar, Jason Sudeikis. Because he's like, wait a minute. Is that the Gloria? Is she back in town?
They were childhood friends, we come to find out. And shortly after she returns to her hometown, on the other side of the world, in Korea, there is a giant monster attack, like a big Godzilla-looking thing. Not Godzilla, mind you, because, you know, copyright reasons. But some Godzilla-like thing attacks.
Big giant monster.
Yeah,
big
like
giant
for real. Monster. And Gloria, well, everyone's like, oh my gosh, our world is changing. There's a giant monster attacking Korea. What's that all about? But then
Gloria comes to realize she might have a special connection with this thing. Some way.
This monster doesn't like crawl out of the ocean and attack Seoul. It just materializes in thin air and then disappears the same way. So it's some sort of metaphysical thing, and somehow Gloria has a connection to it, is tied to it. And so so it's that kind of movie where metaphor is made real. And so this monster sort of symbolizes kind of her drunken blackouts and her
the mess that she
mental
is
mental issues. Yeah,
right.
Which is very interesting and very amusing, and they do some really, I think they do some really funny things with the connection. We won't spoil for you. We'll let you discover for yourself.
Yeah,
how it all ties in, but they do some fun stuff with the connections there.
It's really fun, and it is also there's Austin Stowell, who I wasn't familiar with. He plays Joel, and he's a simple guy. But then the other friend that Jason Sudeikis has is Tim Blake Nelson as Garth, and Garth is a simple man, and I really enjoyed seeing him. Tim Blake Nelson play this character quite a bit, and. Here's the twist of this film that it was a little surprising. And the more I think about it, the more it works. But it definitely made...
Is this a real twist you're about to say?
No, this isn't a real twist. This is the twist in the sense of like, oh, that felt different. Even though this was all very creative, very imaginative, everything else. It's the idea that Oscar, Jason Sudeikis' character, he gets a little jealous.
He's really a jerk about it, and the story comes to be about their friendship from when they were kids, going back to when they were kids, Oscar and Gloria, and that's where the movie really kind of falls apart, because that stuff is not established well and not treated well to sort of suggest that her childhood relationship with Oscar is the source of this current monster issue, and that just is just underdeveloped and underhandled.
It's really loose. And since seeing this movie twice, I've and reading things as well about this movie, the concept that Nacho's going for here is the fanboy annoyance. And I see that now.
Oh, Oscar represents that fanboy annoyance.
Yes.
Annoyance with
like
celebrity?
In other words, no, like with female power and trying to snatch it and want a piece of it and be like, why do you have this power? I want this power.
Right.
It is that concept that he's playing with, and that's awesome that he's attempting to do that. It's not felt by me. I know some women have felt like this is one of the greatest female empowerment films they've seen. And I love that there's that connection there. And I still feel that with Anne Hathaway's character. I just didn't feel I didn't feel the connection as far as Oscar trying to take this movie over is what feels.
That doesn't come across to me at all. I would definitely, it's an empowerment thing for sure. And that's all well and good. But then also, what about the alcoholism? The alcoholism just sort of disappears.
I know.
It's a very loose film.
The movie is
loose and sloppy, much like Nacho Vigalondo himself.
But
loose and sloppy, but fun.
Not that first half. Like it takes a while for you to kind of like check in and just be like, wait a minute, I'm not having a good time. But why am I not having a good time anymore?
The first half is Nacho when Nacho hasn't started drinking yet. Then as Fantastic Feud goes on and on, it gets looser and looser. Things go off the rails.
Yeah.
It's still good, but I wish that it had held itself together.
Oh, goodness. Because, like, really, I mean, like, maybe the first third of the movie, maybe even upwards to the first half, it's just like you really feel like you're watching something incredibly inventive unique.
Yeah. It's still a B-minus for me.
It's a 6 out of 10 for me.
And Colossal opens this week in limited release. It might. I don't remember if it's on VOD or not. That's not my job to know that. But it's in limited release in some theaters, making their rounds.
The listeners can bring a little something to the table, too.
Exactly.
You can go find that out.
You have access to the same internet I do. And then a movie that I saw that I don't know why you skipped this. I don't know why you skipped a Saturday morning screening of Smurfs: The Lost Village. I didn't see either of the Smurfs movies they made within the last decade. But they were CGI Smurfs.
I didn't.
In a live action world, and Hank Azaria was Gargamel.
Oh, I bet I did see the first
one. I didn't see them. But then this one, not connected to those. This is all cartoon, all computer animation, and it's none of the same voice cast or anything. It's all completely different personnel. They've rebooted Smurfs again.
And that feels right for some reason for
me. Well, yeah, I mean, it was a cartoon in the first place. Or I mean, I guess it was a comic book in the first place, but a cartoon that Americans know it from. And so fine, make it a cartoon. But the whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking, why would you go to the theater? Because it's no better. It's no better than like the Saturday morning cartoon from the 80s. It's not particularly grander or more epic. But, you know, here's the story. It has a very nice message. The message of this story is that Smurfette, well, she has an existential crisis because all the other Smurfs are identified by their personality or their occupation, and that's their name.
They are exactly one note.
Right. And she is just called Smurfette. Like, her only thing is she's a woman. And she's like, don't I deserve to be reduced to a single adjective like everybody else? What can I be?
She's upset.
Yeah, yeah. Because what am I? And so
Hang on. Wasn't it Gargamel made her, right?
Yeah, she's actually a golem. She was made of clay, and Gargamel made her to somehow get to the Smurfs. I don't know if
to seduce them, probably.
I think so. And somehow that's all water under the bridge. Like, he still claims her as one of his creations, but she's a good Smurf now. This actually comes up in this movie, where he's like, Smurfette, you're destined to be on my side because I made you. But no, she makes her own destiny, because the message is that Smurfette can be anything she wants. The boy Smurfs all still have to be the thing that their name says they are. They can't change that, even if they wanted to, which they don't. But anyway, they all, Smurfette and then like Brainy and Hefty and Clumsy Smurf, all go on an adventure.
About Grouchy?
No, stays home. Nope. No, it's just these four, Smurfette and then Hefty and whoever I said, Clumsy and Brainy. They go off looking for a lost village of Smurfs. They just found out there's this lost village of other Smurfs, like half a mile away, like just over the next forest, like right there. Like just over the garden wall or whatever. So they go looking for them, and it turns out this lost village, it's all Smurfettes, all ladies all the time. Total Amazon village of Smurfs.
Not even one guy?
Not one guy. They don't even have heard the words boy or papa before. They think those words are funny sounding.
Oh, man.
And their leader, their Papa Smurf equivalent, is voiced by Julia Roberts.
Insane.
Someone interesting. Yeah.
That is insane.
Papa Smurf, Mandy Patinkin.
Nice.
And so this Lady Smurfs teach Smurfette how to be herself, and they defeat Gargamel. And
so wait, are all of they they are not one note?
No.
They are not defined by their name.
Not really. Like, there's one who seems to be particularly enthusiastic and one who is overly...
Hang on. Wait. I'm looking at the list of... going to guess. Enthusiastic, that would be Smurf Blossom, voiced by Ellie Kemper.
Yes.
Okay.
There's and also then, one. See if you can guess this one. There's one right. Who's like kind of the tough girl. Like kind of...
That would be Smurf Storm, voiced by Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes. And there's... That's it, really. The rest are all pretty much the same.
Okay, all right.
One of them is voiced by Megan Trainor, and she's called Smurf Melody. Maybe she sings at some point. I don't remember. But they're all just kind of, you know...
They really brought in the voice talent for this movie, though.
Yeah, like, for no
really
reason
tried.
At all. Yeah, there's...
My goodness, I'm looking at all of these names.
Rainn Wilson is Gargamel. Sounds nothing like Gargamel. Gargamel has a voice.
Gordon Ramsay is Baker?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He must have like a couple of lines. Again, most of the movie is away from Smurf Village with just these four core Smurfs, and the rest are all forgotten.
Hang on. This is very important for me right now. Jokey Smurf, voiced by Gabriel Iglesias.
I guess, yeah.
Gabriel. Jokey. Was he ever funny?
No, he's just the one thing. Just open the gift box and it explodes.
Oh,
that's Jokey.
That's right.
Yeah. No, he doesn't tell jokes. He just does that one prank over and over again. And everyone falls for it.
I gotta be honest with you. It's been a while with me and the Smurfs. I haven't. Yeah.
That's probably all right. The problem here, of course, it's pitched very young. And there's no effort made to make it appealing to older kids or even to smart younger kids. It's very, very simple. The easiest jokes, the easiest dialogue, very functional. Again, there's no reason. In a previous age, it would have gone straight to VHS, and that's where it belongs.
Is there any... Did you grow up watching the Smurfs?
Yeah, I watched when I was a kid.
Okay. Any nostalgia factor going on here at all? Was there anything that felt like,
no,
this is nice?
No, and where there could have been some would have been if they had a Gargamel who sounded like Gargamel.
Okay.
That would have helped. But no, there's no... No. Just
because, I mean, that's the joy of, you know, some of this, like the Peanuts movie, Winnie the Pooh, like the ability to capture something.
No, this really doesn't
reminisce.
This really doesn't try, I don't think, to reminisce at all. It's all just about keep on using these Smurf products to introduce them to a new generation. There's not any attempt to appeal to people who grew up with it, I don't think.
All right.
But so it's pretty useless. You don't need to go see this.
All right, Smurfs The Lost Village, I give it a D minus.
No. No, it's not. It's not like clawing your eyes out bad. It's more just unnecessary bad.
Sorry. Smurfs The Lost Village, I give it a B plus.
C minus.
All right, there we go.
But again, that great message of girls can be anything they want. Boys need to just stick to their one thing, that whatever they
Brainy,
do.
Brainy, clumsy.
Whatever we've already decided that you are, that's what you are. This is really, you know how some misogynists think that feminism, this is what some people think feminism is, of like trying to, that it's really about making women superior to men. Like this actually is that thing that some people think that all is.
More importantly, do you remember how that, like, so the Smurfs, were they created? And then it was like, wow, this guy's really clumsy. Let's change his name.
I don't know if that was ever explained. It certainly is not addressed in this movie, because I wondered that too. Like, do they wait till a Smurf is born and then see what personality develops, or they give it a name and that locks it in? Because I don't think they're born. I think they're created.
Papa Smurf's the only old one, right?
Yeah.
He's the only old one. So maybe he's like kind of creating all of these, and he's like beforehand, he's like, I'm going to make a clumsy one now.
I suspect there are answers to these questions in the Smurf mythology.
Papa Smurf.
But I also remember when I was a kid on the cartoon, there being a baby Smurf, like a baby Smurf showed up once.
Yeah, that was
where the hell that baby Smurf came up with.
That was the Oliver of the Brady Bunch.
Right. That's when the Smurfs jumped the shark.
Oh, did I just date myself really bad right there? Come on, you guys. Oliver reference?
That was Poochie the dog. the Smurfs, whatever. Oh, you know, this is the other thing. You know the thing they used to do where they'd replace a lot of words with Smurf? They'd say, yeah, I Smurfed him. I Smurfed him right up the Smurf. Or
yes.
Whatever. They only do that like 4 or 5 times in this movie.
What?
They seem to have been cured of it. Yeah, very little of that.
That's like watching the Leprechaun movies and he doesn't rhyme.
Yeah, that would have helped nostalgia if there'd been more random Smurf replacement. Smurfs me so bad.
Right up your Smurf.
Smurf me right in the balls.
I don't think you're doing that right.
DVDs. What movies came out on DVD this week? We don't have a giveaway this week, but we will next time.
Yeah. We'll have a decent one, by the way.
Yeah.
We should La La Land. Hello,
La La Land,
everyone.
Yeah.
La La Land.
Temporary Best Picture winner, La La Land.
That's right. You guys remember when it won?
We'll have it.
You remember where you were?
Did we ever determine, are these Blu-rays or DVDs?
These are Blu-rays.
Blu-rays. We'll have a Blu-ray of that.
But
don't
almost,
they usually come
almost
with
all
the DVD
Blu-rays
too, yeah.
Come with now a DVD and an online code. Like, they got it all.
Yeah, we'll have that next time to give away. And again, only our agents, MovieBS agents, are eligible for the giveaways.
That's right. How would one even become? Oh, they'd go to MovieBS.com.
Yeah.
And they'd see the little thing about how to become an agent. And then they would do it.
Here's what being an agent means. It means that you pay a dollar a show.
That's right.
Every show we do, you pay a dollar. And we get that money and we spend it. Then you get the show and you're eligible for the giveaways. You'll have free downloads of movie commentaries that we record, which we're going to start doing this month.
And one of them is already available.
Yes, Predator's already available.
Predator.
The thing is, it's through Patreon here, and once we get up to $100 a show, we're at 50 something now. When we get up to 100, we will start doing a second weekly show of bonus BS, other topics other than movie reviews, and that will be available to everyone, not just to agents.
Yeah.
So everybody wins once we get up to $100 a show. So there's several reasons, or two or three anyway, to be an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, no giveaways this week. But be an agent, and then you can be eligible.
Maybe
next
you'll
week.
Win La La Land. Who knows? I don't know.
Rogue One is out now.
Rogue One is out. There is One extra. So I haven't rewatched the movie, but I am actually looking forward to it. Now that my expectations have been terribly diminished,
sure,
and I know
it.
Some people have fallen in love with it, so I'm cool with watching it again and seeing if I can recapture that. Now that I know it's like, all right, great. You don't do a lot of good character development, but maybe I'll find it more interesting this time around. There's an extra, the princess and the governor. This thing... Like, you know how I didn't like the fake Princess Leia in this movie?
Yeah, yeah.
The extra almost makes you like the fake Princess Leia in this movie because the technology is amazing. So that's a really cool extra to watch on the DVD if you end up getting it, or the Blu-ray.
I feel like that is the underlying theme of most of the disappointing Star Wars movies, which is, but the technology is so amazing.
Yes. Yeah,
it's the story. That's the story of George Lucas's life.
George Lucas.
But the technology is amazing.
You gotta watch it.
Patterson, Jim Jarmusch film with Adam Driver as a driver, right? He's a bus driver named Patterson.
Driver.
In Patterson, New Jersey.
Adam Driver, Patterson, driver.
Keep seeing pairs of twins too. He does in that movie.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a thing in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Other people liked Patterson more than we did, I think.
I liked it.
I think we did. Okay. I know we generally liked it. Some people loved it.
Now, I gave it a 7 or an 8.
Okay, yeah. I was in there somewhere. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Office Christmas Party.
Which I ended up kind of liking. I think I gave it a 6. I don't know.
If only there was some way of knowing.
It's impossible. There is a new movie, well, new to me, that I saw called Youth in Oregon.
Euthanasia?
Hello. Youth in Oregon. Frank Langella is an 80-year-old who stands up at a table and tells his family, his loved ones, all right, that's enough. I'm going to go to Oregon and die. And his daughter... His daughter, Christina Applegate, is like, well, this is ridiculous. We got to talk him out of this. But something comes up to her, and then her husband, Billy Crudup, has to do the drive and has to convince him not to kill himself. And like, it's this thing that is going to be kind of nice and easy, but it's good. And the reason I had to see this movie, the reason I requested a copy of this movie, my dad has his health problems and everything's going well right now. He's on dialysis and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But he called me one day and was like, hey, is it okay if things ever get bad? Can I come to Oregon and kill myself?
Yikes.
And it was just like that thing of like, oh, we're having this conversation now. So I see this movie and I'm just like, okay, I got to see what this might be that I'm getting into.
Like to get some pointers?
Yeah, to get some pointers because I'm like, it's a you know, comedy drama. So I was like, oh, maybe I can treat this lighthearted if it ever has to happen
sure.
to me.
Yeah.
All that sort of thing. And I found the movie very enjoyable. It's worth seeking out if you're very appreciative of Frank Langella. This is probably his last – center
don't
star
say things like that.
No offense to him, but like, come on, he's no Michael Caine and
forever.
Morgan Freeman and Alan Arkin.
He'll live forever, and he wasn't in that crappy movie. At least
I know he wasn't. He's actually done some good stuff lately. Because before this, he was in Captain Fantastic. He was the dad, right?
Oh, that's right. He was the dad in that. Yeah.
He's gotten some good work.
Still around. He's still doing stuff. And
but anyway, it's worth seeking out. I recommend
all right.
it.
Frank Langella, good for you. It is. It's Billy Crudup season. It has been for a few months. And that brings us to the end of our show.
That's it, people. This is all you get.
Kind of a bum week for the movies, except for the one that's not playing anywhere. Colossal's worth seeing.
It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, watch for it when it comes around to your local art house cinema. And then Going in Style, no.
Nah.
Not good. No reason to watch that. And the Smurfs, no. No. I mean, unless you just got, like, money burning a hole in your pocket, and you want to go to see something that won't entertain you at all, but might entertain your kids.
Did you ever get dropped off at the movie theater?
No, because we didn't have a movie theater in our town when I was a kid. We didn't. The nearest one was up in Corona, about 30 minutes away. We didn't go to the movies very often, partly for that reason, partly because we had six kids. So, no. I don't know why that's so funny.
I don't either.
But by the time there was a movie theater close enough, I was of driving age and didn't need to be dropped off. But yeah,
I have to do the math on this.
We would have been had there been a movie theater in town. We definitely were the sort of family and the sort of parenting, and it was a sort of town where we'd drop us off at the theater. It would have been fine. We just didn't have one, so instead they dropped us off at the brothel. Just do chores, run errands for the madam there at the brothel. No, I'm thinking of Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson did that. Where did we drop us off at?
When was the original Alvin and the Chipmunks movie? There's been so freaking many.
Chipmunk Adventure, 87?
Oh, that was 87? Oh, that makes it less interesting. The Chipmunk Adventure. I was 11. That's way too old. That's boring. That's a terrible story.
Sorry. It was your story.
Yeah.
That's the end. That's right. We were ending the show. So some movies, whatever. There's other good movies you can watch that just didn't come out this week. And other weeks they came out. Whatever. Do whatever you want with your spare time. It's not up to us. Until next week, for Movie House with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day. Did you see The Discovery yet?
The what?
The Discovery.
The movie The Discovery?
Yeah, the one that's on it premiered on Netflix with Jason Segel and Robert Redford.
Oh, no. I sort of forgot about it.
We should consider watching that. It's by we loved the director.
Who's the director?
Exactly.
Why are we having this conversation? We're literally 5 seconds away from the show being over.
Well, we don't have to keep this on the show.
I know, but what?
Charlie McDowell.
Okay, let's finish the show.
The one I love.
All right.
I lost my voice.
Let's finish the show, and then we can talk about it.